month has been walking in the Spirit, and we're going to finish this one up today. Amen. I'm so grateful for God's grace and all that He has done. He just bombarded me this week with stuff. At work, I was, they tried to make me work many more hours than is normal in a 40-hour shift, and God gave me such outstanding favor and grace that, it's all going to work out. I'm supposed to, as I was coming to church this morning, I remembered I had a paper I was supposed to write to turn in tomorrow. But you know what? I'm going to still do it. God is going to help me do it. Amen. Because He can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or even think. And the key, as I've said, the key to blessing, anyone remember what it is? Obedience. It's simple. It's very simple. The key to blessing and favor is very simple. It's obedience. It's obedience to God. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have trials and tribulations. That doesn't mean Satan isn't going to attack you. But, in the end, we're going to be victorious. Hallelujah. In the end, we're going to be the winners. Hallelujah. Because, and I almost was going to preach this, but I'll wait for another time. He said that we're going to have temptations, right? But in every case, He's going to do what? He's going to make a way of escape. And He is not, this is a promise from God. He said He is not going to allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. You know what that means? Satan has a limit. Satan has a limit. And so he can't go beyond what God is going to allow. Satan has a limit. That was going to be my message sometime in the future. Satan has a limit. Amen. That makes me joyful because he has promised. If you're a child of God, He is not going to give you more than you can bear. And in every circumstance, look for the way of escape. It's up to you to take it. It's there. Lots of times we just don't want to take it. There's an off-ramp, but we don't want to take it. But look for the way of escape. Look for the way of escape. Amen. This is the part 4 of Walking in the Spirit. And my theme verse, many I could have chosen, but this one is in Romans 8:19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." We are waiting. And waiting is a hard thing. Who likes waiting? Young people, who likes waiting? Silence. Mic drop. I don't know what that means. I've just seen it now all the time. Mic drop. What is that? What's that about? That's what I see on television now, this thing about mic drop. What does that mean? It's over? It's over. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to drop this mic because Brother Josh just blessed the church with 2 very expensive mics, and I don't think he would. I know you don't want me to say that, but thank you. And I'm not dropping any mics, and I'll come against anyone I see dropping any mics in here. Amen. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." I tell you what, I'm tired. Amen. And the older I get, the more tired I get. Amen. I'm just amazed that I can still function. When I thought of 60-year-olds, I thought of, Yes, amen. But God is so merciful. So I'm waiting. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to my change. I'm looking forward to not this stressful life. I could do with less stress. How about you? Amen. Amen. Now, some stress we bring on ourselves, isn't it? Sometimes we put ourselves in stressful situations. But Paul here is encouraging the Roman church. He says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." There's coming a time when God is going to change this situation. You won't always be in stress. You won't always be under pressure. Amen. And we're going to look at that today, walking in the Spirit. Now, week 1, we talked about learning to walk. A baby, before he walks, he crawls or she crawls. And we talked about that. And then we talked about being led by the Spirit. And last week we did talk about walking in agreement. And we talked about the week before about being led by the Spirit. Anyone remember about exhaling and inhaling? Right, you're going to have to take some breath if you're going to walk, right? Anyone been on a treadmill? You go on the treadmill, and the one they have at work, you put your hands on it, and it gives you your heart rate. And when I usually go on, my heart rate's about, you know, maybe 80 or 90, and I'm walking about 3.5 miles an hour. But that won't let me lose any weight if I do that, so I have to bump it up. And I look on the chart, and it says for my age, you got to be doing like 150 beats per minute for a certain amount of time. And you know, you can't do that with your mouth closed. You're going to have to inhale. And what we inhale is the word of God. And what we get out, anyone remember what I said exhaling was? Confession. When we come here and we confess, when we ask, when we acknowledge God, we're exhaling all that stuff that's built up during the week, all of the walking through this world with all its stuff that gets stuck to us. We just feel dirty sometimes. Just going through a week without being able to be in a church service makes you feel condemned. But this week we're going to talk about walking in sonship. Walking in sonship. And I'm going to talk about two words that are used in the New Testament for being a son. Amen. Walking in sonship. So the first thing is becoming a son. And how do you become a son? That's right. There's two ways or two things. We think about two ways of becoming a son. One is being born. What's the other way of becoming a son? How can you join a family? Adopted, right? So we think of two ways of being in a family. We can either be born in a family or adopted into the family. But in Jesus' days, at times, the word adoption did not really mean the same thing, or at least it had another meaning as well. It had another meaning, which I'm going to go into. So we think of being born into a family or adopted into a family. But in Jesus' day, their usage of the word adoption also meant something else, which I'm going to get into. So the core foundation of what we teach and believe is being born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, this was Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus in verse 3, and then says what it takes, and in verse 5, he repeats it almost identically. And so this gives us some words that we can examine to see what does it mean to be born again. Now, this is very basic and fundamental, but sometimes it's good to just do basic and fundamental. Yes. Basic and fundamental. What does it mean to be born again? Well, you know, I've been told, and I don't know if all Baptists believe this, but I was told that Baptists, the main National Baptist Foundation, don't believe that baptism is absolutely necessary for salvation. They teach it's just an added blessing, an outward show, that as long as you are a believer and you come to church and, you know, you are filled with the Spirit, that's it. You don't need what Jesus really said about that. Because remember, we're talking about how to become a son. You can be adopted or you can be born. You can be adopted or you can be born. But in Jesus' time, the word adoption actually meant a little bit more than what we mean today. So let's look at that. Some people teach that born of the water means when you're born, because we are in our mother's womb and we're surrounded by water. But born of the water could not possibly be what Jesus was talking about when, you know, he could not possibly have been meaning that you have to be born of the human mother, because that's a given. Why tell everyone you got to be born of the water when everyone already is born of the water, if that's what it meant? You understand what I'm saying? So it could not mean that, which is what a lot of people teach, that it just means you have to have a human birth. But that's obviously not what it meant, because in Jesus' day, they didn't have test tube babies. So everybody that was born that way. So it wouldn't make any sense for him to say that's a requirement, because everybody already was. So Jesus would not say you must be born again about something everybody has already experienced. He did not mean that. He meant something much deeper. So becoming a son means born again. So let's really look at what Jesus said. Because you notice he said it twice. He said it in verse 3. And he said it in verse 5. And we can do a little word equation. And we can learn something from the way Jesus said it. Because he said it so as to completely eradicate this idea that you don't have to be born of the water. Let's look at the two verses, and we can put an equal signs between each phrase. In John 3 and verse 3, it says, Jesus answered him. In John 3 and verse 5, it says, Jesus answered him. Do you see that? It's the same. They're equal. The next part, he says, truly, truly, I say to you. And in John 3, verse 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you. They're equal. They're the same. And then he says, unless one is born again, in 3:3, but in 3:5, he makes it explicit what that means. Unless one is born of water and spirit. So born again means born of water and the spirit. It's not just born of the spirit or just born of water. It's born of water. Born again means born of water and the spirit. Do you see that? The only difference between verse 3 and verse 5, he made it explicit what born again means. In the verse 3, he only said born again. But in verse 5, he explained what born again means. Unless one is born of the water and the spirit. Both of those things. You can't separate them. It's the one baptism. We're talking about walking in sonship. How do you become a son of God? How do you become a son of God? You have to be born of the water and of the spirit. And I hope all of you who are on your smartphones are actually looking up scriptures or listening. Or else we'll have to just turn off the Wi-Fi. Amen. You know, when we come to church, as I said, when we breathe in, we're breathing in words of life. The Bible said in John, it said, the words that I speak, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. When we come to church, young people, we should be coming to hear the word of God. If you come just to text, then why come? Why come? If you're not listening, then you're wasting your time. You know? So, if you're not going to listen, what you're doing is you're not letting the word wash you. You know what that means? You will leave here the way you came. If you're texting each other and you're not listening to the word, you're not letting the word cleanse you. So you're going to leave the way you came. It doesn't matter to come down here and shout during the praise if you're not letting the word actually cleanse you. It doesn't matter if you go to the hyphen meeting and go to the front and make a big show if you're not walking according to the word. Because the Holy Spirit sees and the Holy Spirit knows. And God is very merciful with us. He gives us many, many chances. But you know what Jesus said? It's the words that I speak. They will be your judge. He says, I won't judge you, but that I speak, they will be your judge. Amen. So when we come to church, if you're not letting the word actually wash you, you're leaving the same way you came. Amen. Becoming a son. Now, one of the words that is used about becoming a son is technon. And that speaks about birth, of being born. One who is a descendant by birth. So a child. In the New Testament, it uses both these two words I'm going to give you when it's speaking about a son. Technon is one who is born into the family. John chapter 1, verse 12, in the New King James Version, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave the right to become children of God." And that word children there is using the technon word. It means to be born. That means a child is born into the family. But in those days, they had many, many children. Did you know that? They had huge families. And just because you were born into the family, if you were a child, that didn't mean that you had the right necessarily of a mature son. And this is the difference with the two words I'm going to show you. And it's used in Scripture in both ways. He gave the right to become children of God. So when you're born into the family, you've been given the right to become. That doesn't mean you have become yet. Do you understand? You've just been given the right. You are now in the family, and if you will stay in the family, if you will listen to the Father, you have the right to become. It doesn't mean you are there yet. It doesn't mean you have arrived. It means you have the right. You can ask. You can listen. You can take the Father's wisdom. You can grow. But you see how the Scripture says you have the right to become children of God. You're not children of God, the finished product yet. And this is what I'm trying to show you, and this is what I'm trying to explain the difference in the words that are used. Again, it's used in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the children of God." That means we've been born, and it has not yet been revealed. So when this word born is used, it's showing a starting position and something you got to go towards. Do you understand? Because walking in sonship is a growth process. I'm going to say it real slowly so that everyone can understand what I'm saying. The New Testament uses two words for sonship, for being born. The first one says you are born into the family, but you are not complete yet. There's things you have to learn. There's a growth. You have been given the right to become. And that's awesome. That's awesome. You're in the family. You have the right to become a child of God. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the children. We've been born into the family, but yet it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Do you understand what it's saying? So the fact that you are born means that you are in the family. You have the right, but you still have a ways to go. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But if we continue, if we're there when he comes, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. This is a journey, not a destination. It's not the fact that you have been baptized. That's great. That's wonderful. But that is the start. That is just the start, Sister Janice. I'll wait till she comes down. That is just the start. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That was written by C.S. Lewis, who's a famous writer. Sister Janice.
Praise the Lord. I wanted to just for you to explain when it says what we shall be, because we really don't know what we are until we come to know who God is.
Amen. It says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. What that means is we have no idea fully what God has got for us, in the sense we only have through faith eyes, through the eyes of faith. But we have no idea the joy, the blessing, the beauty, the grace, what God has got in store for us and what we shall be. Jesus, as I've taught before, came to reveal what the Son of God was, what a Son of God type was, which was the first time in thousands of years, because after Adam's sin, they were only sons of men. We are so far from what God has originally called us to be and who we should be. We are so far from the true nature of what we were designed to be, what we were made and created to be. We are so far from that. But one day, if we continue, first we have to be born. And now this is where you're going to learn something that is different in our culture today. When someone is adopted, it automatically means that they were not part of the family. But let me reveal something to you. In Jewish days and in the Greek days of which this was taken, you could be born into a family, but you could still be adopted as the son. What that meant was you became the rightful heir. So a rich ruler could have many sons, but it was the one that he adopted became the heir. So many times they have legal documents that where they would adopt their son, because in those days adoption meant more than it does today. Today, adoption means you weren't part of the family. In those days, adoption not only meant that you weren't part of the family, but could also mean you were part of the family, but the father was choosing you to be the heir. You understand? So that's why in the New Testament, it uses both words for being born. The first part is a child. You are part of the family, and you have the right, you have the equal opportunity to be adopted as the heir. But until you're adopted as the heir, you're not going to be the full inheritor. Beloved, now are we the children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. I can't wait for that. For we shall see him as he is. It's going to be so sad. You know, it's going to be so sad. Unfortunately, there's probably people here who are not going to make it. Let me just be frank. Because where is your heart? Are you here to serve God? Are you here to text? Are you here to have conversations? Are you here to see who is here? Is this a social club? Where is your heart? Can you only worship and be thinking about God at a youth service when everybody else is worshiping? Where is your heart? So technon means you're born as a child. The other word that is used is this word, huios, which means adopted. And here is, I'm going to show you some scriptures where this word is used. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Father. See, the Lord's Prayer is a New Testament prayer. In the Old Testament, you won't find anyone calling God Father. You know what would have happened to them if they tried to do that? What would have happened to anyone calling God Father? They would have been stoned. Do you understand the difference of the New Testament is Jesus taught his disciples this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, we have been given the spirit of adoption. It is one thing to be born, and we got to do that. That gives us the right. But you have to go on to be adopted as the heir. And that's why it uses both words. Now, this isn't a new doctrine. I'm not saying you're lost. But I'm saying that just because you're a son doesn't mean you inherit. Did you know that? Just because you're a son, there have been many sons who didn't inherit. You know why? Why? They were disinherited because they were disobedient. They were sons, all right. They were born in the family. They have the DNA. But guess what? They did not inherit because they were disobedient. So the father disinherited them. They're still a son. But they did not inherit. You have to go all the way on to being adoption. The fact that you're born, that's great. That gives you the right. You have the right to become. We are in the stage right now of becoming. What are you doing about your becoming? Are you being obedient to the Father? Are you listening to the Word? Are you thinking, okay, I'm a son, it's got to happen? No. No. Adoption back then meant something different to how we use it, the word. Adoption meant then, when it says adopted, it means you become not only a son, but you become the heir. Let's look at another usage of the word in Galatians, to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba. When you become adopted, you have the right to say Father. That's when you know you're going to get your prayers answered. When you are being led by the Spirit, to them gave he power to become. Just because you're born, you're not the full-grown child yet. You can't do nothing as a baby much, can you? Except cry and make a mess and need feeding and need changing. A baby, all the baby has is needs. But if you will grow, if you will take the milk of the word, if you will listen, if you'll be obedient, you will receive God's favor. And at some point, you will receive the adoption as sons. That's what it's all about. Some people think the moment they come into church and be baptized, that's it. They've arrived. They stop. A lot of people, as I said, they use baptism as a rabbit's foot, a lucky charm. If I get baptized, all my troubles are over. They don't realize that you have to become. You have to start walking. You have to start taking the word. You have to start coming to church because the word is going to wash you. The word is what's going to give you life. That's what I talked about 2 weeks ago about breathing. You have to breathe in the word and exhale all that mess that you've picked up during the week. That's what it's about. So there's two words, as I've said, used in the New Testament about sonship. One is technon, which means you're born. The other one is huos, which means you have become the inheritor, Sister Janice.
Praise the Lord. I was witnessing at work, and I noticed that there is a lot of Catholic people. And they said that, oh, I've been in Catholic school, you know, writing. And I'm like, so you did all this writing, and you're not obeying what you wrote about? You're not living what you've learned all these years. I said, you should really be a preacher if you've been writing all them essays. You know, I can't understand how people go to Catholic schools, and there's so many that write about Jesus because they have to learn who he is. But then I said, but you don't really live it. So I don't understand. What was the point of going to a Catholic school?
Right, amen.
I said, you should be a preacher by now.
See,
because I just can't understand it. I said, because when you learn the word, you're supposed to obey the word.
That's right. The scripture says be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word.
So I began to tell him. I was like, so he said, I know I'm just so sick of church. I know I should be in church. I said, yeah, because we're living in the last days. So if you've been doing all this studying from high school and now you're a grown man, I don't see any difference that you walk in truth.
Amen.
And I just had to tell him that because, and then he said, you're right. I should be in church. I said, well, here go a car.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. That's what the scripture says, that we have to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. You know, it's so sad that a lot of people are going to be lost because they come, not because they don't come to church, but it's because it just bounces off them. Preacher isn't speaking about me. He's speaking about someone else. I'm a good person. I pray. You know, it's more than that. It's becoming. To them gave he power to become. Well, do you have the power? Are you becoming? And what are you becoming? Galatians 4:5-7 in the New King James Version says, to redeem them, those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. That means the inheritance as sons. And because you are sons, God sends forth his spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Abba, which means father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir. That's what I was trying to tell you. A man, a rich Greek ruler in those days, would legally take out an adoption for his son. Now, that to us sounds strange, but all it meant was he had designated this son as the heir. Not only was he born into the family, but now he was designated the heir to the family. Amen. So we need not just to be born, but we have to go on to a full adoption.
It's really funny, Pastor. My father, my dad, was a self-taught historian, and he had a different mindset than me and my mother. He told me, it's so funny, he just brought it out in my mind. He told me, just because you're my daughter doesn't mean you have the right to everything. He said, the audacity of you. But I'm thinking, I'm his daughter, I have the right. He said, no, sweetheart, it don't work like that. I couldn't believe you said that a few minutes ago about God. It's like he said it to me 74 years ago. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Well, you know, he must have been Greek because that was the prevailing attitude back then, because they had many children. They had many wives, so they had 20, 30 children. Not every one of those children became the heir. And so the ruler, when he was older, he would decide who was going to be the heir, and he would take out a legal contract that was called an adoption. But it's not the same as what we think of it, where it's someone that is not in the family. It would be he would adopt his own son. But all that meant was this is the heir. So although we are born, that gives us the right. But we have to go on to perfection. We have to continue walking in holiness. We have to continue seeking God. We have to continue. The Bible says that we should make our what? Calling and election sure. That tells me that just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're saved forever. You have to walk worthy of the calling. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. Or else you have a short life. Let me just be blunt about it. Short life. You know what the Bible says? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long. You don't honor your heavenly father, your days are not going to be long. Not going to be long. So God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. That's the new NLT version of the same scripture. So the two words, one is technon, means you're born in the family that gives you the right. But it only gives you the right to become. And we're talking about walking, and that's how we become. We have to walk worthy of this calling. We can't let the world drag us into every mess and everything that they want us to do. The Bible says that we should shun the very appearance of what? Evil. Right? You know, do we do that? Now we say, well, nobody should judge me. Well, that's foolishness. God can see your heart, but I can't. I'm going to judge what you say and what you do. You can say, well, no one should judge me. God knows my heart. Well, that's fine. God does know your heart, but all I can do is see what you do. See what you do. So my witness is not just before God. My witness has to also be before men. I'm not living in a cave where it's just me and God. But I'm living also, the Bible says, let your light shine. Is that what the scripture says?
Amen.
That's all about becoming, so you can receive the full adoption to be able to say, Abba, Sister Johnny.
Pastor, when I was on this bus coming back, these two young men, who one of them had told me that he was a pastor, and they had began to do something that I've seen done at Rehoboth, and that's joke and about each other and throw out jokes about each other. And they was joking about each other until they let the devil came in, and one of them got upset. And they began to say things that was just crazy. But the pastor of the church was up at the front of the bus. I was kind of like almost in the middle of the bus, so I could actually hear what was going on at the back of the bus. My spirit just wouldn't let me sit there. I tried to just sit there and ignore the situation, what I was hearing. But my spirit rose up in me until I quickly turned around and I looked at him, and he looked at me and he said, and I said, that's not Christ-like. And he said, well, we was just joking. And I said, well, the devil liked jokes. I said, and that's why he have came in and caused you and your brother to want to almost fight. One of the brothers was saying about throwing the other brother out the window of the bus. And God really used me to minister to him and to let him know that if you are a part of the body of Christ and you have the Spirit, then you is part of the church, and that you should be acting like you are a child of God instead of throwing out jokes and gestures about each other, which the devil can easily use.
Amen. Amen. Remember, exhaling, it's what comes out of your mouth defiles you. Jesus is so smart. You know, that's not what we would think. They were criticizing him. Look at your disciples. Look at how they're eating. Jesus told them such a deep truth. It's what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. It's what you say most of the time is what defiles you. Amen. That's such a deep and profound thought. Amen. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So it's saying the fact that you are born, it's not until you have been designated, adopted. And I'm not teaching a new doctrine now. I'm not saying anything other than what the scripture says, because it uses two different words. In this case, it's saying huos, which means adopted. That's when you get your prayers answered, when you can say Father, because you got a relationship. There's many fathers who don't have any relationship with their sons, unfortunately. You can't go and ask them anything because they don't have no relationship. Although you're actually their blood. Although you're actually their blood, there's no relationship. What this is making a distinction and saying, you need more than just blood to be a true father. You have to do the will. Amen. You have to do the will. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Jesus was doing something and he was healing, and they said, hey, your mother and your brethren want to see you. And you'd think, okay, he would stop what he was doing, run out there, but he was trying to make a point. He said, these are my brethren. He didn't acknowledge his blood brethren, because it's not the fact that you are just born, but you have to continue in the family. You got to continue in the family. You leave the family, you might be blood. I'm sure many of us have family members who we've never talked to in 20 years. They may be genetically related, but there's no relationship. No relation. That's what God is trying to say. Yes, you have the right. You've been born in the family, but you got to make your calling and election sure. You can't be fooling around with God, because he's not fooled. He's not fooled. So a Greek or Roman father adopted as a son his own child. So birth made him a child. That's technon. Adoption made him a son, huios. Between the period of birth and adoption, there were stages of growth, education, discipline, until the maturity was reached for adoption into sonship. With adoption, the son was recognized as one who could faithfully represent the father. A two-year-old cannot represent the father or the mother, can he? You would hope by the time they get to when I was probably in my teens, I couldn't do nothing. Aren't you Bishop Brown's son? If I went anywhere, because my dad was well known, aren't you his son? I had to represent. I couldn't let a bad name, because my dad would say something. I would find out about it. He would find out about it. You see, the difference is, when we become adopted, it means that we could faithfully represent the father. We may be born into the family, we can be baptized, but I don't know if immediately we are able to represent fully, because we have to grow. It says he had arrived at a point of maturity where the father could entrust him with the responsibility of overseeing the family business. The son becomes the heir at that point of his father's inheritance. That's when, do you see a parallel in the parable of the talents? They were given talents, but it wasn't till the ruler came back and he saw what they did with them that he said, enter in to the joy. It's after he saw what they did with what they were given. They were all given something and they all had the opportunity to do something. What did they do with it? Well, one of them said, you know what? I'm just going to sit on it. I've been given this, but I'm going to sit on it. So adoption means more than what we think of it today. It means that you can faithfully represent the father. You are now you're the one going to take over the business. You got to be able to represent the father. He had arrived at the point of maturity where the father could entrust him with the responsibility of overseeing the family business. The son becomes the heir of his father's inheritance. Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us. That means it was his plan that if you're born in the family, that you should be adopted. That's his plan. That's what he had predetermined. That was God's will. That the fact that you've been born into the family, he's given you the right to become adopted. That means to become the heir. That's what it says in Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. But what are we doing with that? Are we rebellious? Are we disobedient to the Father? Don't we do what he asks us to do? Because that's not how to become adopted. That's how to lose your inheritance. Even though your last name may be the family name, there's been many who have never been adopted. They get written out of the will. when it comes time for the reading of the will, they get the dog and the cat. The house and the car and the bank account goes to someone else. Why? They had a non-existent relationship with the Father. They had not used the opportunity to become. See, we've been given the opportunity. Those that are led by the Spirit, to them gave he power. And I'll be getting to that in a little bit. Birth gives ones the right to the inheritance, but adoption gives ones participation in the inheritance. There's a difference. You have the right, you got the last name, but what you're doing with it. You've got to go on to not just be technon, but also huios, meaning adopted. Amen. Let me give you a parable that Jesus told. Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented, turned around, changed, and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, I'm going to do it. And he did not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Because it's not the ones that say, it's the ones that do the will of the Father. Do you understand? They were both sons. But look what he said. It's the one, go into the kingdom of God before you. Even though they were both sons, you have to be adopted. You have to get to the place where you're the designated heir, where you can represent the Father. I'm talking about walking in sonship. Many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. You can be born, but you're not chosen because you have not been obedient. Blessing of God is so simple. It's simple. It's obedience and humility. That's all it is. Obedience and humility to God. That's all he's looking for. That's all he's looking for. That to them gave he the right to become sons of God. So walking in sonship, let's look at this. So a child is one born of God. A son is one taught of God. Do you see the difference? A child is born. A son is one who listens. Right? Who takes correction. Right? If you're going to be a son, you're going to take correction. If you don't want to be a son, you run away. You skedaddle. And you lose your inheritance. Amen. Sister Janice.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to elaborate on the word, therefore, if any man be in Christ. I had to learn that I couldn't just be in church or call myself just going to church and think that I'm going to be a new creation. Christ had to be in me, and he had to live in me, that the outward appearance will show the inward appearance.
Amen. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Let me read it again. A child is one born of God. A son is one taught of God. So you can be born, but when you become a son, that means you have been obedient. You have learned. So sonship is learning. A child has God's nature, has the blood, has the DNA. A son has God's character. Isn't that something? A child can be born. I mean, look at all of you have children. They've got your DNA, but are they like you? Are they like you? How do they become like you? When they have learned. Those of you who had parents and you've grown up, you probably find yourself being and saying and doing like your parents. You have learned their character. So a child is one born of God. A son is one taught of God. A child has God's nature. A son has God's character. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. And I know I've gone over that many times because I really want you to get the idea that this is a journey, not a destination yet. We're becoming. But you can't become if you quit. A son will suffer correction. A son will suffer correction. If you're not a son, you'll quit. I'm not putting up with him. I'm a grown man. Can't talk to me. I'm a grown woman. Right? That's how you lose out your inheritance. That's how you lose your inheritance. I'm glad that when my pastor corrected me, even if I thought it was wrong, I didn't quit one thing I was doing. I smiled sweetly. I smiled sweetly and just kept on doing it, right? And you know me and him are friends, you know? Because I want to be a son. I don't want to lose out on my inheritance. The true test of sonship is when you can endure correction. That's when you're a true son, is when you endure correction. Because if you're not a son, you're going to quit. Sister Johnny.
I was thinking about the man who told Jesus that he was under authority. So before you can actually be over anything, you have to be under.
All right. Amen. Amen.